जय राम जब बिहारी जय राम जब भागवतम की जय। ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमः भगवते सुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 27, Indra and Surabhi offer prayers, text 20. Tvam na param akram devam, Jagatpate.
Indra Jagatpate.
Bhavaya Bhava Govipra. Devanam ye cha sadava. Tam na paramakam devam. Tam na indro jagatpate. Bhavaya bhava go vipra. Devanam ye cha sadava. Tam na paramakam devam. Tam na indro jagatpate. Bhavaya bhava go vipra. Devanam ye cha sadava. Supreme. Devam. Worshipable deity. Tva. You. Naha. Our. Indra. Lord Indra. Jagatpati. O Master of the Universe. Bhavaya. For the welfare. Bhava. Please be. Go of the cows. Vipra. The Brahmanas. Devanam. And the demigods. Ye. Who. Cha. And. Sadava. Saintly persons. Translation. You are our worshipable deity. Therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, and all other saintly persons, please become our Indra. Purport. The Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. He can do everything himself. The Lord appointed one of his innumerable children to the position of Indra, the Lord of the cosmic heaven. But Indra abused his authority, and now Surabhi requests Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth, to directly become her Lord, her Indra. We should carefully perform our duty without false pride. Thus, we will not become obsolete and embarrassed, as in the present case of Indra, who actually attacked Lord Krishna and his Vrindavan devotees. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ginandana Salakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Gurau Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Veena Bandhu Jagatpate Gopi Sa Gopi Kakanta Radhamata Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyayivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Surabhi in her prayers is recognizing Krishna as Paramakam Daivam, as the Supreme Lord, as Deva Deva, the Lord amongst lords, as the Surabhi is also looking at Krishna as Jagatpati, as the father of the universe, and is saying, yes, you please become our Indra, the father of the universe, one, a father, a well-wisher. Krishna is Bhuktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Surinam Sarvabhutanam Kyatamam Santim Richati. He is Suridam Sarvadehinam. He is the true well-wisher of all living beings. He's Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's the Maha Iswara of each and every location. So, in this way, Lord Krishna is truly suitable to be the king, to be the Lord, because he is selfless. Janmadi asya yatun viyat itaratas chate svabhikya suratene brahma ridaya vikantihi. It is explained that Krishna is the origin of everything, and yet, although Krishna is abhigya, fully conscious, fully cognizant of everything and anything, at the same time, he is swarat. He has no dependence on the material energy at all. But muyanti at suryaha. Even the demigods become bewildered. Although the demigods are far, far more great than we are, still they also are under the influence of the material energy. Abrahama Bhuvana Loka, Punaravitino Arjuna, Mamupeche, Tukuntya, Punarjanmana Vijjante. All these planetary systems throughout the universe are places of misery where repeated birth and death takes place. So this is all the realm of the of Durga Devi, or this is the prison of material existence, and the demigods may be a better category of prisoners, but still not free from the material influence, still captured by the material influence. We understand that to attain the position of Indra, it requires great piety, and that Indra in the past, in order to attain that position, had performed many pious activities, and that Indra is considered a most pious personality. But at the same time, that piety is incomplete. Well, it is incomplete because it is atmendriya. There is still that tendency to enjoy the senses, and because Indra has that tendency to manipulate the material energy. Mumirapo naro vayu kamana budri vacha ahankara mitiyame bina prakitirastada apareyamitastvanyam prakitim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. The living being is manipulating this separated material energy made of eight elements for his own enjoyment. So Indra is still doing. Indra is still, despite the fact that Indra is the agent of the Lord. So as the agent of the Lord, Indra certainly is acting as a well-wisher. And therefore the Lord protects the devatas so many times from onslaughts of the asuras, who are truly have no other interest than exploiting the material energy. So Indra is certainly pious. Indra is certainly inclined to act as a well-wisher of the purpose of the Supreme Lord. But he cannot do so at all times, because he has a personal agenda in this world. And as long as we have a personal in the agenda in this world, we cannot engage in ahaitikiya pitiyata bhakti, or in uninterrupted devotional service. That will not be possible. So in that way, we see how far Indra became distracted from the goal of life due to attachment, due to pride, due to being accustomed to be worshipped. And when that worship was diverted elsewhere, then he, due to his attachment, he became influenced by anger. Krodat bijayate, anger conquered him, and as a result, Indra became degraded in Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that how after the Govardhan Leela has taken place, that Krishna went to have a look at Govardhan Hill because Indra, for 1 week, had been beating Govardhan with thunderbolts. So, therefore, Krishna was inspecting the damage. And just then, Indra came for the first time. And Krishna spoke to Indra. And Krishna said, "My dear Indra, you are supposed to be my devotee. Right? How could you act in this way?" I mean, you know. Well, I was proud. Yes, but Indra, a Vaishnava has to curb pride with intelligence. Yes, but I was angry, and therefore I lost my intelligence. So, in this way, when Krishna heard that, he didn't respond. He just turned away, and he didn't respond. Well, it said then after, Indra went to Brahma, and for advice of how to atone and what to do, and then Brahma suggested that Surabhi could accompany him because Krishna would be favorably inclined towards Surabhi, and that would sweeten up his mood and possibly diminish the punishment. So, a very diplomatic strategy. So, in one sense, a calculated approach, going before Krishna, pacify him, apologize, but also calculating how to get out of the situation as good as possible. Try and manipulate Krishna a little bit by putting Surabhi in the front. So manipulation has an element of cheating in the mix. But Krishna is cheating the cheaters. So Krishna was certainly aware of the heart of Indra. He was aware of the heart of Surabhi. And Krishna took advantage of the situation. Surabhi is now desiring to put Krishna in the place of Indra. Now it goes a step further. Now it's not only the sacrifice that is being offered to Indra, but now Surabhi, is suggesting that Krishna becomes the Indra. This is of course very painful to Indra. But under the circumstances, what can he do? Now that he's in trouble, he has to tolerate. And so Indra is tolerating it. Then Surabhi, she begins a whole coronation ceremony. And she begins to bathe Krishna with her milk. And then Indra is forced to go along with it. And Airavata, who carries the Akash Ganga in his trunk, also partakes in the bathing. So here Indra is partaking in the coronation ceremony of Krishna. It is clear that Krishna is the supreme controller, is taking advantage and is himself steering the situation. And Surabhi, who is looking for proper shelter, and turns to Krishna for that shelter, is at the same time used by Krishna as an instrument in a refined punishment of Indra. Not only anger in response to his misbehavior, but a subtle way of further cutting down his pride. O Indra, you are not qualified. So Rabi is considering that very much, and she is very conscious who is qualified to be the Indra, and that Indra must protect the cows, the Govipra. Yes, it is said here, Jagatpate Bhavaya Bhava Govipra. O Master of the Universe, for the welfare, please act for the welfare of the cows and the brahmanas, and also the devanam and the demigods. In this way, Surabhi's vision is very clear. She is not bewildered. She knows very well what is the essence in life: the protection of the cows, the protection of the Brahminical culture, the upholding the position of the devatas, so that the order in the universe is maintained and that pious activities are to be continued. But now, Indra, the supreme devata, himself has become corrupted to a point where he wanted to destroy the residents of Vrindavan, the cows, and so on. So he no longer can be considered reliable. Surabhi say, how can we trust him after this? It could happen again. Therefore, he's disqualified. His behavior is of such a serious nature. This is not a minor transgression. This is a major transgression. I mean, these are the activities of the demoniac. What has this to do with a devotee? Destroying, killing, right? Killing. Possibly he might have been disturbed, but to go to this extent that in his sense of disturbance he wants to kill, that shows a level of extreme like a mentality that is no longer suitable for a protector. He can no longer take up that mission of Suridam Sarvadehinam. Therefore, although Indra had through piety attained an exalted position in the universe, his piety apparently was external. His piety was about activities, but the state of his heart was still corrupted. And now that corruption had manifested in such a extreme degree that he was no longer trustworthy and therefore disqualified. Then the most qualified, the faultless, the infallible personality is Achyuta himself, is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how could there be any better Indra than Krishna? And since Krishna had already taken up the work of as a protector, since Krishna had already begun that work of acting as the caretaker and protector of the cows and the residents of Vrindavan, it was only natural to ask Krishna to please now continue and to just make sure that there could be no further further incidents of that kind of extremity. Because one might replace this Indra for that Indra, right? This conditioned soul with a pious nature for that conditioned soul with a pious nature. But Muyanti Suryaha, even within the Devatas, there is still the influence of Moha, still the influence of the illusory energy. Therefore, to what extent can one truly rely on such Indras? In the Bhagavatam, we find a whole list of personalities who at different points in time got the post of Indra. Such lists are there. And then for this and this period, this personality became Indra, then that one became Indra. And again, an ongoing... It's simply a post. But to fulfill such a post is very, very difficult. I particularly like this Jagatpati, this element of being a father, because when I was in the post of temple president of this temple in the past, I used to think that I had to somehow or other manage this project nicely. But then there was a sannyasi who would come to my room in the early morning, knock on the door, I'd open the door, and by the time I opened the door, he was on the ground already paying obeisances. Then I also paid obeisances. I was like, what is going on? Then next day again, the third day I caught him, I said, Maharaj, what are you doing? He said, I'm offering my obeisances. I said, why? You're not. I'm supposed to offer obeisances, you're the sannyasi. He said, no, we are offering our obeisances because you are our father. Now, the Indian way of teaching, you know, a very indirect way. And I was shocked because I had never thought of myself like the father of all the ashram residents or temple residents. I thought I was in charge, I was the manager. But suddenly I had to become the father. Like whoa. So it resonates with me a little bit, this Jagatpati, to have that mood of a well-wisher, a caretaker, of one who can correct when it's needed, but always does so with the best intentions and simply has the ultimate good of his subjects at heart. This is required on a universal scale. This is required on a governmental scale, in on a country level. This is required on a temple level. This is required in all conditions of governance. This well-wishing approach is very difficult, actually, to lead in such a way. But this is the leadership that everyone is hankering for. So, in one sense, Surabhi is the voice of all of us, hankering for such noble leadership, for Ram Raja. In India, even after a million years, people still hanker for Ram Raja. It's not coming. But the desire is there for noble government, noble leadership, by being the well-wisher of, the true well-wisher of others. This is something required for society to exist peacefully, for people to feel sheltered by their leadership, and therefore eager to assist that kind of leadership. This attitude of acting as the well-wisher is the attitude that can generate faith and trust in society. So we can draw out meanings on different levels from this particular section of Bhagavatam and also apply it to our own situation. Meanwhile, because Indra is pious, in the process of this this situation, where Indra apologizes and so on, and now is further purified by Surabhi, who agrees to Lord Brahma to take part in the thing, but then also has a little bit of a personal agenda. Yeah. Surabhi is not only coming, as she was asked, to help Indra to protect him from being severely punished by Krishna. She's also taking advantage and trying to assure her own position as well. So it's very interesting to see all the various personalities at work, and finally to see how Krishna's divine plan is unfolding. Okay, any questions or comments?
Are you still a father?
I'm a grandfather now.
Make him a great
grandfather? Definitely. Can I have a good look? Yeah.
Duties are never finished.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Father Panchagoda. Anyone else?
Thank you, Maharaj. So in this world, we are trying to be well-wishers, but the situation is such that when you become a well-wisher of someone, immediately you become not a well-wisher of someone else. It's always a very tricky situation.
Pasubuddhi, friends and enemies. Yeah. Therefore, when we become the well-wisher of someone, we cannot just be a material well-wisher. If we are their well-wisher in supporting their material objectives, then we get caught in this friends and enemies. But if we are simply becoming a true well-wisher and giving Krishna, then we can become ajata-satru. Then we have no enemy. Then we are one for whom no enemy was born. Yeah. Because although they may not see, like Yudhisthira was such a person, he had no enemies. But not everyone could see that. But in this way we act above the normal pasubuddhi, friends and enemies type of mentality of the material world, by simply giving everyone Krishna. And that's what it means to be a true well-wisher. Anyone else? I don't know how long I've been lost here.
Man, how devotee can become envious?
Envious, was that the word? Yeah. How a devotee can become envious? First of all, anadi bahirmukha, we have been conditioned souls since time immemorial, and therefore we are already envious. And then that envy will emerge from time to time. Yes, and when we are particularly attached to some material position or some material facility, when that's under threat, then we can become very envious. Yes, that would be... So, we see in Indra that envy, it didn't mean that envy just was brought out in this situation. Indra was also anadi bahyamukha. He had been since time immemorial in this world. Envy was still stored in his heart, although he had performed so many pious activities. In this way, it's... when he was being disrespected, and when Krishna somehow or other influenced the residents of Vrindavan to stop the sacrifice for him and instead use it to worship Govardhan, that was too much. That was just the straw that broke the camel's back. It was too much for Indra to take. Then his envy awoke. So envy remains in a dormant condition in the consciousness, even in the heart of a pious soul. So therefore in our own situation we are careful to take shelter of Vaishnava etiquette. So because that etiquette at least protects us from envy, from acting in an envious way. It may be there in the heart, but because we are carefully taking shelter of Vaishnava etiquette, we remain protected. So that's an extra safety net for us, so that we don't fall prey to envy.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I was just wondering that if Krishna takes the position of Indra and if somebody performs worship of Indra, then he will go to Indra Loka or which one?
First of all, Surabhi may have prayed for Krishna to take the position of Indra, and Surabhi may perform a coronation, but Krishna wasn't really taking the position of Indra. Krishna, he took the position, he ultimately purified Indra, and Indra continued in his position. That was the outcome. Second thing is that sometimes when no one is qualified to take these leading posts like Lord Brahma or Krishna or Indra, then Krishna himself might take that post. You know, what happens then to those who would worship Indra? Are they those who worship Krishna as not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or with like an incomplete understanding of his of his tattva, of who he really is, they are not attaining the ultimate destination. Just as we're seeing the Yadu dynasty, we see that in the Yadu dynasty there were many members of the Yadu dynasty who didn't understand Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these members of the Yadu dynasty, when finally the pastimes were being wound up and they gave up their bodies, they did not attain Goloka or Dwarka. They didn't attain. They attained a lower destination. So in order to attain the ultimate destination, one has to also worship Krishna appropriately as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, in the middle there's a... I'm soon gonna...
So we have all of these negative qualities within us, but is it helpful when we at least admit to ourselves that we have these, at least acknowledge that we have some of these negative qualities? Yeah, I just want to know if it is helpful in any way.
Is it helpful when we acknowledge that we have such negative qualities? Yes, we should acknowledge it, but we should not think that acknowledging and acknowledging and acknowledging again and again is our process for purifying ourselves from these qualities. Anartapasamam saksad bhakti yoga madokshaje. We engage with, we engage wholehearted in devotional service. Akama sarvakama vamoksha daruditivrena bhakti yoga na tivra bhakti. We engage in pure devotional service. Right? In the process of pure devotional service, then we get purified. So we are aware, yes, envy is there, yes, lust is there, uncontrolled anger is there, yes, all these qualities are there, all these anarthas are still there. But by engaging then strongly in devotional service, we'll be purified. Not that we turn over our fault. Do I have envy? Oh my God, I have envy. Let's have another look at the envy in my heart. Oh, my envy. Oh, not like that. That's a bit too much acknowledgement. Yeah.
We cannot really control anger from coming to us, but we can control our reaction to that anger. So if we feel anger internally, is my intelligence already bewildered, even though I am able to tolerate that anger and choose my reaction, or is the intelligence then maintained?
Yeah. If undue anger, right, we're speaking about undue anger, because there's also proper anger. If someone is beginning to destroy the temple or something, you can be angry, and it's very good. You're blessed. So we're speaking about undue anger, like Indra displayed. Yes, then we are already fallen. Then we are already under the influence of the modes of material nature. And that's, of course, our condition. We are conditioned devotees. We're still conditioned by the material nature, so it happens all the time. angry gets a bit out of control, envy may lift its head, the little snake within us comes out, and so on. So all these qualities are already within us. But at the same time, they'll be purified by devotional service. So we focus, therefore, in humility on devotional service. And when these negative qualities emerge, like I said, we stick to Vaishnava etiquette. So we remain respectful. Right? Just like mundane politeness. I grew up in a family that where there was so much politeness, and I saw as a child, I saw how little kisses in the air and people just speaking so respectful, and then as soon as they were gone, they go, you know, someone comes just in the evening and they say, oh, they always come at dinner time, you know? Yeah. But to their face, so polite. But it helps, right? Because if there would be no politeness in the world, then the Third World War would have already started long ago. In the same way amongst Vaishnavas, if there's no etiquette, we're surely going to make offenses due to the fact that we are already under the influence of all these negative qualities. But over time, they'll be purified. At least we got a handle on it now. Yeah. Okay. Okay, this is the last question I can take because my body needs to end. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Yeah. Any technical help needed? No. For the mic? Okay, speak.
Hare Krishna Maharaji.
Yes. Yes, Hare Krishna. What is the question?
How can we minimize envy?
Hare Krishna. We can engage in devotional service. We can serve the Vaishnavas. Right? And chant Hare Krishna. And in other words, just seriously take shelter of the process of devotional service. So our focus should be devotional service. Let me seriously engage in devotional service. Our focus should not be, oh, how do I overcome my envy? How do I overcome my anger? How do I overcome... Naturally, we have to control. We have to control our envious nature, our anger, to a point that it doesn't become out of control. Right? It must remain within proper behavior of Vaishnava etiquette. And for the rest, let's focus on service. Let's do lots of service. And that service will take care of everything. Then, as time progresses, one day we'll find, oh, all these things, all these problems are diminishing. That's the nature of devotional service. So that is the key. Okay, I thank you very much. I have to move on. But Hare Krishna, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.